So we continue with our theme for the weekend, following the auspicious and most holy day of the appearance of Lord Ramchandra. And as we were discussing in the life of the Lord, especially in the life of Lord Ramachandra, there's so many deep philosophical and practical and moral messages for each and every one of us that we can learn in how to practice a spiritual life and even day-to-day life more happily and more, what we say, according to the nature of a qualified or elevated human being. So, we spoke, of course, this morning about the effects of bad association and how by that association one can also become like that, so much so that even one's values, one's relationships will be severely affected or may even change completely by the wrong association. Hearing criticism, agreeing with criticism, just being, what we say, in an atmosphere where it's not about glorification, it's about finding fault. So we heard how such a wonderful and qualified, dedicated, and loved person who had everything and more could change simply by hearing poison. That wasn't true, but it sounded good. Because usually there's an art that the demons know, and of course others also have learned how to speak in such a way that you can put your ideas and, what we say, desires to another person where they will agree with that. It's somewhat of a jugglery of words, learning how to speak from selfishness. So Kaikeyi was changed, so much so that she changed the whole course of events. She had that position because she had the influence of the person who was the most powerful person in the community at the time, or the leader, King Dasarath. So we spoke about that and how we can avoid that by taking good association and carefully avoiding bad or materialistic association. The Ramayana is full of wonderful pastimes, and each of these particular pastimes have a particular connection with some quality, characteristic, attribute that we can adopt or learn from, we might say. I haven't chosen one for tonight, but I have a list of 25 in front of me. 24, actually, one we already did. So I'll choose one, and that is the next one down. Attachment to service and not attachment to position. And there was Ram. He was asked to give up his incumbent position of being the king of practically the whole world and leave everything and go to the forest and live like a mendicant. Give up luxury, love, friendship, opulence for a life of austerity and difficulty. But for Ram, he saw both the same. He saw being the king or being in the forest was what his father had ordered in two different situations. So it wasn't the forest or the kingdom that he was attached to. He was attached to the instructions of a superior. So this is a very essential part. Learning to, you know, the first principle of spiritual life comes from the word disciple. Disciple comes from the word discipline. And discipline means instructions. So following the instructions of the Lord, coming through his representative, and making that those instructions our focus in life, and how to execute those instructions. Srila Prabhupada received the instructions from his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was just a young man, 25, 26 years old. And that instruction was, you are a very intelligent young man. You should take the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world. You can do good for yourself. You can do good for your, for the entire world. Prabhupada, it took him, we might say, 40 years to actually put the instructions in practice. But he never forgot the instruction. And he was always thinking how to do it. He thought that I should first try to become successful in India. And then I can go to the West with some experience, some influence, some followers. But every time he tried something in India, it failed. Whatever he tried, Krishna turned it around and turned it into a failure. And finally, it wasn't until the year 1935, his spiritual master gave him the same instructions again. This was 13 years later. If you ever get money, print books, go to the West and preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, after hearing it for the second time, he was always trying to execute it, but in the area of India, and that was not the instruction. But he was thinking, I'm preparing myself for the West. I'm preparing myself for the West. But it wasn't until he was the age of 69, 70 years old that he actually embarked on that instruction. And he said, I never forgot the instruction, and I always kept the instruction foremost in my life, but I was always thinking how to do it, how best to do it. Where to go? All my godbrothers went to London and they failed. I should go to another place. At least if I fail, I'll fail in a new place. He also says that. He said, and I was also dreaming about New York. I was dreaming about New York so much that I actually would wake up and thinking, I'm in New York. So Krishna was directing him ultimately to go to the West, and eventually he did begin his mission in New York. And then, of course, the success is this, is the Hare Krishna movement worldwide. Because he kept that, Prabhupada could have thought, well, my spiritual master gave my that instruction in 1922, 1935. It's 20, 30 years later. I'm an old man. There's so many things that have changed since then. I don't have any money. My health is not so good. And he was also given warnings, your health is not good. When you go there, you'll die. What will you eat? Everything is so cold. The people are so materialistic. He was being encouraged not to follow that instruction. But he listened, but never really took it to heart what they were saying. He kept that foremost. This is the instructions of my spiritual master. This is the instructions of the Lord, and therefore this is my only focus. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tasyaiva kartate yata prakasanata mahatmanaha. One who has implicit faith, not faith, but that faith that's not broken under any circumstance, in the spiritual master and in the Lord. And then the verse ends in a very powerful way. It says, all the imports of all Vedic knowledge, all the conclusions of all scriptures are understood directly within your own heart. That faith in Guru and Krishna is so powerful that it reveals the conclusions of all Vedic scriptures. In other words, one is a master of the Shastras with complete faith and complete conviction. And that means action, working to fulfill that desire. And then everything becomes successful in one's Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada used to quote this verse from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which was a commentary on a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavyasat Mikha Budhair Ekeha Kundanandana Bahu Sakya Yanatas Cha Budheyo Vyavyasahinam, that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. And the Lord is speaking to Arjuna. He says, O beloved child of the Kurus, those whose intelligence is irresolute is many branched. In other words, direct focus is actually the success. And if one's intelligence is splayed out in different directions, how will one be resolute? Now, in that commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a point. And Prabhupada takes that point and makes it the point of his own success in Krishna consciousness. And what was that point? Whether it's easy to follow or whether it's difficult to follow, that's not a consideration. Easy and difficult doesn't fit into this category of explanation. It's the instruction. That's all. And there's a very interesting statement. It's made by a Scottish mountain climber. We can quote the non-devotees too, because sometimes they come up with very deep understandings of how to become successful in life. And the Scottish mountain climber talks about the word commitment. He says, as soon as you make a commitment to do something, the unforeseen becomes foreseen. When the commitment is not there, then the opportunities for success remain hidden. But as soon as the strong commitment comes to fulfill a particular goal, and one moves in that direction, all the opportunities for success reveal itself by the strength of your commitment. Interesting, right? In other words, if you're determined to do something and it's in line with Krishna consciousness and you say, I will succeed no matter what, then all of a sudden the opportunities you need to succeed become revealed through the strength of that desire. That's the power of desire. And when desire is coupled with strong commitment, then one can, as I say, one can move mountains like that. So, using that understanding, Prabhupada never considered it easy or hard. These were not even a consideration. Because it's the instruction, success is just a matter of time. That's all. And that's the interesting point, that when you receive an instruction, even if it's difficult, it doesn't matter because it's just a matter of success, just a matter of time before success comes. So one is not discouraged by failure. One keeps going accordingly and learns from their mistakes and uses their intelligence and the guidance of others to continue to achieve it. So to use a general principle, you'll say, in this life, I will become fully Krishna conscious. Whatever I have to do to develop full Krishna consciousness, I'm willing to do that. And then you will do it. It's just a matter of time. That's all. But if your commitment is not strong and it's wavered by circumstances, because circumstances will challenge your faith and challenge your determination. But circumstances can also do another thing. It can bring you stronger determination and cause you to look for faith in other areas which will strengthen your faith. In other words, obstacles can be opportunities instead of what we say, obstacles. When one remains determined to fulfill, I will go back to Godhead in this life. I'm not staying in another life. Make that commitment. And then you'll see Krishna will do things in your life to help you fulfill that. It'll accelerate the process. you might say, well, that's what I want, but at the same time, I'm not so determined to get it. And then the process will be slowed down, and the opportunities will be less. The stronger the commitment, the faster the acceleration, and the greater the opportunities come. So that's the quality. And Ram, he always had that commitment to service to the superiors. His father was like his spiritual master in one sense, but in Vedic culture, the father is also respected as one superior. And so when his father said, take the kingdom, he said yes. When his father said, go to the forest, he said yes. That's detachment. Of course, we might say, well, that's Ramchandra. What about me? I'm not on that level. But he's teaching by example what is the principle of success. Because we want to act in such a way to please the Lord. And pleasing the Lord means pleasing the Lord's devotees. So when the devotees are pleased, the Lord is pleased. If we try to please ourselves, we may or may not be successful in that. We may not. So Ram was not trying to please himself, thinking, well, you know, I have all the qualities of a king. And at the same time, everyone in the entire kingdom is waiting for me to be the king. And there's no reason why I shouldn't be the king. This going to the forest doesn't really make sense. He didn't when you say logic, but you say eyes at the end. Logicize. Yeah, that's the word, isn't it? Nitya Kishore, you're expert in English. You don't know that one. Logicize. Yeah, he didn't logicize. Or, yeah, he didn't use logic to figure it out. He accepted the higher principle of obedience to superiors, obedience to authorities like that. Okay, so attachment to service, not attachment to position. So before I go on to another one, any questions on that one? Okay. Yes, Madhurya Chandrika. Thank you. Yeah, Prabhupada said first deserve and then desire. But then he also said you can also desire to desire. So that what that means is that I don't have that determination, therefore I desire it. You're not talking about the goal, you're talking about the means to achieve the goal. So you feel like you don't even have the means, so you pray for the means. I want to develop good qualities, but I don't. So teach me the way to develop good qualities. So we can desire to desire. The thing about Krishna consciousness is that anything you desire in Krishna consciousness, if it's in line with your advancement in Krishna consciousness, you will be empowered to receive that mercy. In other words, it's available. If you want to be a great orator on scriptures and you want to know the scriptures and preach the scriptures, there's a means. All you do is read. Read as much as you can every day, hours and hours and hours. And after some time, you'll be full with knowledge and then you can start preaching. So there's a way. If you want to be good at chanting, stay in the kirtans. Go to do as much. In other words, if you emphasize anything in Krishna consciousness, you become good at it. Chanting, shastra, whatever it is you focus on. If you focus on, I want to be a good servant and I want to carry out the instructions no matter what, and Krishna will give you so much service you won't even know what to do with it. And you'll be also inspired and you'll think, I got a lot of service, but if I get more, that's okay. Because it's what you desired and Krishna's fulfilling that. If you want to eat a lot of prasadam, that might be a problem. Unless you're a pure devotee. If you're a pure devotee and you sit down and take prasadam, then you can eat as much as Lord Chaitanya. And you will not be affected so much. But pure devotee means to see every morsel as Krishna manifested in the form of prasad. You have to have that vision. If you don't have that vision, your prasadam seva will end at a certain time. So everything is there on the transcendental platform like that. So desire to desire. And it works because Krishna is in their heart and he sees, oh, this devotee wants to serve me this way. She's praying like this. Okay. And Krishna will arrange for you to fulfill the desire. He'll give you the means, but it's up to you to do it. Krishna doesn't do things for us, but he puts things in place so it can become easily done. We just have to see the opportunities in front of us. Yes, there was another question somewhere else I saw. Yeah. It wasn't logical to give up all that and go to the forest. It was against all moral, but there was a higher principle. He accepted the higher principle, obedience to superiors. No, he didn't think, well, there's nothing good in it. All the citizens will be unhappy and I'll go to the forest and I'll do something I don't even have to do. He was thinking, because it's the instructions of my father is my superior, I accept. Now, in choosing a superior, you also have to choose and make sure that superior is qualified. In Krishna consciousness, we choose the spiritual master. And choosing the spiritual master means following the spiritual master's instructions, like that. So the authority is already there. All we have to do is follow. In the material world, the authorities are not motivated. They're motivated by their own personal interests. So they may not be capable of instructing you in the best possible way. Although in some cases they are. Depends on the situation. But in Krishna consciousness, that authority is Krishna. Krishna is the only authority. Anyone who plays the role of an authority in Krishna consciousness is simply acting on behalf of Krishna or the previous authorities, that's all. No one is an independent authority, no matter what position they may have. They're simply a channel for the previous authorities and ultimately Krishna. Like that. So that when we know that, then we can act on instructions from authorities. Even if you think the instructions are not correct, you may question the instructions, but ultimately you have to obey whatever the final decision is. If you get an instruction, you may question. You may question, well, maybe this is too difficult. Give me another instruction. Or, how do I carry out the instruction you've given me? Two ways you can, but you can't say, I won't do it. If you see you won't do it, then you're actually saying no to Krishna. Someone said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, do you know everything? Prabhupada's answer was, I'm not God. But then he said, I know what I have to know. So what does that mean? The spiritual master knows how to guide his disciples. He knows that much because that's what Krishna gives him as his empowerment. If he can't do that, he's not qualified to be in that position. But he's in that position, that means Krishna is giving him the empowerment to help those who take shelter of him. So if you have that faith and understanding, then even if the instruction is not perfect according to your own estimation, if you follow it, you'll still reach perfection. Because Krishna will make up the difference. You see, the reason why we're in the material world is because we want to be independent. This is the world of do your own thing. And that's why we're here. So the idea to get back to the spiritual world is stop doing your own thing and do Krishna's thing. But that's hard because the conditioned soul is conditioned to think and act according to what they think is best for them or what they want to do like that. So that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Oh, you want to be like me? Okay, we got the material world. You can try. When you get tired, then you can surrender. So, yeah, so that's why that principle is so strong. It brings us back to the right consciousness, obedience to Krishna, instead of rebelliousness of Krishna, or instead of trying to make a contract with Krishna, you know, well, Krishna, you want me to do this, but, you know, this is my list of things here. You can choose a few of them, and then, you know, I won't ask you to fulfill all my desires, but, you know, come on, give me a break. I'm your devotee. So in other words, we may surrender 50%, 60%, or whatever, 40%, 2%. But the more we actually adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master and learn how to go deep into those instructions and make them the focus of our Krishna consciousness, most wonderful things happen in your life. You practically do nothing. You're pretty much like, you're moved by another energy and you don't do anything. Krishna does everything. He works. You're just moving according to his will and your will, his will is your will. So it's like what he called, when two people are so close together, they're like one mind. They think and act only together. They have no separate interests. We try to make that in life with marriage partners and other relationships. Where two become one. And when two become one, it's like one. And then there's no separate interest but the interest of the other person. So Krishna has your interest at heart. Prabhupada said, what can you give to Krishna that he can hold in 10 hands? What can you hold in 2 hands that he's given you with 10 hands? 10 hands means that there's 10 directions. So Krishna's coming from all directions. And so what can we give him? We can't give him anything, really. All we can give him is our love in the form of service. And therefore, that's what he wants. That's the only thing we can give him. We can't give him anything else. So obedience is the principle that awakens love. Without obedience, there's no question of love. Haribo. Yes.
Is the original sin the wish, desire to be independent, or the independence itself?
Everything comes from desire. The living entity has desires. Even in the spiritual world, you also have desires. Desire means life. No, without a desire, there's no life. The law of desire is life. Krishna also has desires. Because we're part of Krishna, we also have desires. But understanding what is the best desire for our own best interests. So when we act outside of that, we create a kind of false existence that's separate. And then we build our world around that. So when we desire to be separate from Krishna, we create this mentality, and that mentality gives us a material body, and that material body causes us to think and act in relationship to that material body, and then we create a whole program of life in this world, right, based around that one mistake. Yeah, Krishna won't force you to love him. Yeah, I'm saying Krishna won't force you to love him. In other words, you have independence. You have it. You're sitting here now. You can choose to be somewhere else. That's your independence. We can choose to love and serve Krishna, or we can choose some many other things. We have our choice. Desire is the basis of life, and Krishna will never take your free choice away. He always gives. Why? Because when love is voluntary, it's love. When love is forced, it's not love. Just like sometimes you meet people from other religious traditions, and they want to force you to become, you know, like them. Well, sometimes we also do that. But that's not really the way to encourage people. You do it in a right way, a positive way, encouraging way. If you force someone, it says that, what is that word? There's a little saying. One who is forced against his will is of the same opinion still. In other words, you may force someone to do something. Sometimes they do that with children. They force them. And then after some time, the children look for the opportunity to rebel. But when love is voluntary, it's coming from the heart. It's done because of this is the right thing to do, or because you actually have affection and attraction for that person you're serving, then it's natural. That's what Krishna wants. He wants our love, not our forced obedience. Because forced obedience don't last. It changes in circumstance. When the circumstances change, our obediences will also change. Okay? So desire is life. Yes, there was another question. Yes.
We heard in case of Ramachandra's obedience to his father, he didn't use logic because obedience was a higher principle. Right? So, also, I heard you talk this morning that obedience to parents, like in the case of Ramachandra, obedience to his father, is almost on the same level as being obedient to guru.
Yeah. In his case, yeah.
I wonder if the obedience to parents, like in general population, is it the same principle, or it is something like if parents are not Krishna conscious, let's say, and they are advising his child to do something,
eat meat, yeah,
in accordance to Krishna, let's say, to leave Krishna consciousness, to find a job, and
one should never give up respect for their parents. Because their parents are the persons who brought them up, gave them some love, gave them care, did something. And they may even be gross materialists. They may be even sinful. And they may be against Krishna consciousness. So we don't lose respect for them. But we don't have to listen to those instructions that take us away from the goal of life. Because in the fifth canto it says, one should not become mother. One should not become father, one should not become guru, one should not become teacher if they cannot bring their followers, dependents, to Krishna consciousness. In other words, it's their duty to bring their children up in that way. The fact that you came to Krishna consciousness means that they were successful, even if they didn't agree with your way of life. Somehow or other, in this life, they were the parents that brought you to the path of bhakti. So in one sense, there is a kind of respect and a kind of appreciation for what they give you. But it stops there. You don't have to say, well, because I love you or I respect you, I'm going to do something against my best interest. Yeah. And if you stick to that, keeping respect for the parents, you may not agree with them, sometimes they can change also. We see that a lot. The parent, the children, the children show their parents that, you know, my kid used to be a drug addict. He used to do all kinds of things. Now he's a nice person. I don't understand what he does. He makes all these funny sounds. And he's got a strange haircut. But he seems to be a nice person. So they may not understand internally about the process, but they're seeing something wonderful happen to their children. They're becoming nice people. So that's preaching to the parents, really. That changes a lot of parents in many cases, unless your father's a Rani Kashipu, then you have a problem. And you have to call on Lord Nisringadev.